stopped, it sounded better to them than it did to her. One said, "When will the clock problems you spoke of be resolved?"
"Oh, soon, very soon, yes."
The one that was beginning to terrify Lady Lejeune said, "We wonder, is it possible that you are slowing the work in some way?" Lady Lejeune felt a prickling on her forehead. Why was it doing that?
"No, why should I slow the work? There would be no logic to it."
One said, "Hmm." And an auditor did not say "hmm" by accident. "Hmm" had a very precise meaning. It went on, "You are making moisture on your head."
"Yes, it's a body thing."
One said, "Yes." And that, too, had a very specific and ominous meaning. One said, "We wonder if too long in a solid body weakens resolve. Also, we find it hard to see your thoughts."
"Body again, I'm afraid. The brain is a very imprecise instrument."
Lady Lejeune got control of her hands at last. One said, "Yes." Another said, "When water fills a jug, it takes the shape of the jug. But the water is not the jug, nor is the jug the water."
"Of course," said Lady Lejeune, and inside, a thought that she hadn't known she was thinking, a thought that turned up out of the darkness behind the eyes, said, "We are the most stupid creatures in the universe."
One said, "It is not good to act alone."
She said, "Of course."
And once again a thought emerged from the darkness. "I'm in trouble now." One said, "And therefore you will have companions. No blame attaches. One should never be alone. Together, resolve is strengthened." Motes began to twinkle in the air. Lady Lejeune's body backed away automatically, and when she saw what was forming, she backed it away further. She had seen humans in all states of life and death, but seeing a body being spun out of raw matter was curiously disquieting when you were currently inhabiting a similar one. It was one of those times when the stomach did the thinking, and thought it wanted to throw up. Six figures took shape, blinked, and opened their eyes. Three of the figures were male, three were female. They were dressed in human-sized equivalents of the auditor's robes. The remaining auditors drew back, but one said, "They will accompany you to the clockmaker, and matters will be resolved today. They will not eat or breathe." Thought one of the little voices that made up Lady Lejeune's thinking. One of the figures whimpered.
"The body will breathe," said her ladyship. "You will not persuade it that air is not required."
She was aware of the choking noises.
"You are thinking, yes, we can exchange necessary materials with the outside world, and this is true," she went on. "But the body does not know that. It thinks it is dying. Let it breathe."
There was a series of gasps.
"And you will feel better shortly," said her ladyship,
and was enthralled to hear the inner voice think, "These are your jailers, and you are already stronger than them." One of the figures felt its face with a clumsy hand, and, panting, said, "Whom do you speak to with your mouth?"
"You,"
said Lady Lejeune.
"Us?"
"This will take some explaining."
"No," said the auditor. "Danger lies that way. We believe the body imposes a method of thought on the brain. No blame attaches. It is a malfunction. We will accompany you to the clockmaker. We will do this now."
"Not in those clothes," said Lady Lejeune. "You will frighten him. It may lead to irrational actions."
There was a moment of silence. The auditors made flesh looked hopelessly at one another.
"You have to talk with your mouth," Lady Lejeune prompted. "The minds stay inside the head."
One said, "What is wrong with these clothes? It is a simple shape found in many human cultures."
Lady Lejeune walked.